Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 350.
Stand.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, and saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember this afternoon the daughter of Adrian and Jennifer Moons, who may be with us in these weeks, who needs to have a surgery this coming Friday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read out of thy precious and everlasting word, that word which is so certain to come to pass that not one jot and not one tittle of it shall fail. We have read of an eternal Sabbath day, that great city that thy servant did see, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, a city in which was necessary no temple, for that whole city that was nothing but a temple, wherein all did worship thee, all did live out that purpose for which they were created and for which they have been redeemed and saved by thy dear Son, that they might live in that glory and to the glory of the triune God. Lord, we are of the earth earthy. We have no conception of the beauty of that holy city. And we are here upon this earth looking for all the riches and all the temporal goods that are going to soon pass away. But we have read of that great riches which is laid in store for thy afflicted and thy poor church here below. Oh, they shall receive such a rich inheritance, a place that is not even necessary that there shall be a sun and a moon, because thy glory will lighten it, and thy presence that shall be felt and experienced by that people day and night. O Lord, look upon thy children. They are still in the Meshech of this world here below, and they must struggle with all that is of self and all that is coming against them from the prince of the power of the air. And Lord, thou knowest that so often that they fear to lose that battle in the end, because the corruption that is seen to be greater and greater, and there is nothing that they can bring forth that is good in thy sight. Oh, there is nothing in that old man, Lord, everything that is pleasing in thy sight that has to come from thee, who art the Alpha, who art the Omega, who art everything, who art the beginning, who art the ending for thy church. When they must experience and live out the wretchedness of their own hearts, wilt thou give unto them in this day a little token of thy presence, nearness, favor, and comfort. O Lord, do show to them and that what thou hast merited for them. O show to them for a moment what thou hast paid, that whole law, and that it is their grief that they cannot keep, and that their heart has of itself no desire. Oh, that whole law has been kept by thee, so that thou hast said, it is done, it is finished. Lord, may thou look on them and give them a little sight of that free and that sovereign grace that thou hast purchased in thy atoning work. Oh, may it be for a little relief in the midst of the heat of the battle, and that thou mayst supply food and drink for the hungry and for the thirsty. Oh, that there may be hungry and thirsty ones among us in this afternoon hour. Oh, we have no hunger and thirst by nature. And even thy children can have so much world dwelling in their heart that all that hunger and thirst that they may speak of former days, when they may experience that time of first love, which they have left days without number. Oh, then there is a desire that thou may restore unto them that joy of thy salvation. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to look upon that people and remember them in this afternoon hour, that thou would visit them from above, and that thou would supply in the needs of body, of soul, of mind, of spirit, and that thou wouldst give in the midst of all of the evil a little bit of hope. Oh, that the poor might have hope when they may see thy work. Oh, open it, Lord. Remember us when we do not even see yet our own wretchedness. Lord, when there has never been a true cry, and when we are still walking over this world in such a careless manner as we have been born, with never a true desire, with only the desire of the religious man of the world, a desire for the comforts and a desire for the blessings, a desire for the portion of thy people, but also that desire to continue on in our sin and iniquity. Lord, may thou give a new heart. Oh, may thou give for the first time the experience of a struggle within, a new man against an old man that will never cease to conflict with each other until the day of their death. Oh, that it may truly be able to be set in the midst of us to a people that learn to mourn welcome in the strife, and that they may begin to need thee. Lord, thou hast sent thy dear and only begotten Son into this world, and we are so guilty that we have no desire. We see in him no form. He has for us no comeliness. Oh, it shall be an awful thing to stand before thee, who has sent him into this world, and who has said unto us that we need him, but we have said that we do not need him. Lord, and how shall we die? And how shall we appear before thy judgment seat in such a way, when he has never become necessary, and when he has never become precious in our life? Oh, when we have never come in that horrible pit and in that miry clay, so that we would need someone to lift us out and to save us. Lord, wilt thou open then our poor blind eyes and give us to see our awful state and condition by nature? Oh, do open unto us our deep fall and give to us a sigh and a cry unto thee. And while there is still hope and expectation, and while thou yet profferest peace and pardon, and leave us not to go our own way our whole life long with closed ears and closed eyes and a closed heart. Lord, look upon the whole congregation and all the needs and the cares of this life. Look also upon the young child that must receive surgery in this coming week. May Thou look on her in the needs of the body. Do give strength, give that the doctors may receive skill and wisdom in this surgery, and may Thou bless it to the healing of this child. And may Thou sanctify the dealings to that whole family. Lord, look on all those that are afflicted, all those that are oppressed, and all those that need Thee in any special way. Be with those that are in the warfare, that from day to day must stand in the heat of battle. Oh, may Thou help and protect them again in this day and in the days to come in this week once more. Oh, that Thou may keep them from danger, keep them from death. Lord, spare them together with all their loved ones and all that are with them in those places. Give solution to the difficulties. And may Thou supply for their wives and children and all their loved ones. Be with those that mourn the loss of those that have been killed upon the battlefields. Strengthen, supply for them, comfort them. And Lord, wilt Thou look on us as a nation? Oh, they do fight for our freedoms. But our freedoms, they are turning into nothing but corruption. And Thou knowest all that takes place in our nation. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Turn us from our evil ways, from the King that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, may Thou give him in the first place, that place in the dust before Thee, with all those that rule and reign with Him. And may Thou look upon us in mercy. Be with Thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world. Give more true servants to labor in Thy vineyards. Be with all that are persecuted for Thy name's sake. Remember all that are in the prisons. Give true repentance, a drawing to Thy footstool. Remember our schools, when our principals and teachers are laboring in the summer times also, for the beginning of a new school year. Lord, may Thou strengthen and help them, and may Thou be in the midst of all those labors for the profit of our children and youth, for the conversion of our families. Look on us in mercy this day. Help us, Lord, in this afternoon hour. Oh, then we are called to speak of that life everlasting. Oh, help us. What do we know? We are of the earth, earthy. Lord, oh, open Thy word. Open our mouth. Open our hearts. And may Thou show Thyself to be feelingly, believingly in our midst, undeservedly. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 394, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I will extol Thee, O my God, and praise Thee, O my King. Yea, every day and evermore Thy praises I will sing. Great is the Lord our mighty God, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, above all glory raised. The last collection today is for the school, Psalter 394, all stanzas. every day and evermore thy praises I will sing. Is that so, congregation? Is that so for us also? We may sing it this day, also the children. We may sing it in our life, boys and girls. It is good to hear you sing. But for whom of you will that be true? Yea, every day and evermore, thy praises I will sing. Or will it be very, very different? I believe the life everlasting, that is our confession, mostly without thinking. Or if we had lived with an impression of that life everlasting, how would our life not be different than it is every day? I believe the life everlasting, that means I believe that there is a life that is in addition to this life, the temporal life. There is another life. There is also a spiritual life. There is also an eternal life. There is also more than a temporal death. There is a spiritual death. And there is an eternal death. Thus, there is a life everlasting, but there is also a death everlasting. That is an always dying. That is a wishing for annihilation and not able to be annihilated. Can we know where that we will spend eternity? It is possible to know our eternal state when we consider life everlasting. But it is not possible in this world, except that we have sinned against the Holy Ghost, it is not possible to know that death everlasting. And why not? Because that life everlasting and that death everlasting that is dependent on spiritual life or spiritual death. There is a certainty which is given in spiritual life. And that certainty that carries over to life everlasting. There is also a certainty, in other words, we may also know in our own heart this day that we have no spiritual life. We may be certain, we may be sure, but by that certainty, we may know nothing of the certainty of our entering into an eternal death. Why is that? That is because we live in a day of grace. Because that spiritual death in which we are by nature is every day over against an opportunity to be converted. That is possible every day. You say, what if I don't seek it, young people? That takes nothing away from that possibility. Because it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Thus, what do we do with this opportunity in which we are? We wish to consider something, congregation, of this life everlasting in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 22, and question number 58. Lord's Day 22, question number 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. So far, our Lord's Day, eternal joy. First, the beginning of this joy. Second, the perfection of this joy, according to what we read in this question and answer. Eternal joy, first, the beginning of this joy. And second, the perfection of this joy. Congregation, we read of joy in the Holy Scriptures. We read of joy at the time that the Lord has created this world. We read that the morning stars sang for joy. And all the sons of God, we read, they shouted for joy. That was the angels. That was those who dwelt about the throne of God because of his excellent creation. We read also of joy in the day of regeneration. We read that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Who of us can comprehend what that joy must be? Because in heaven, about that throne of God, there is nothing but joy. There is there no sorrow. Then it is always praise to God. And yet there must be some special exaltation, that there must be some special rejoicing that is experienced among the hosts about God's throne in the day that a boy, a girl, a man, a woman is going into their inner chamber, there to weep for the first time in their life over sin. We read also of joy, boys and girls, when the angels came and sang. When was that? That was when the Lord Jesus was born. And then we read they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thus, a joy that was experienced here below also. Or in this world, in that season, then men say that it is a season to be jolly. That is the foolishness of our heart in this world in which we live. That is such a superficial rejoicing that it misses everything of that blessed joy that those angels sang of in the coming of the Son of God into this world. Thus, there are lawful joys that may be experienced in this world. We have heard something of that last week, how that Solomon says that there is a time for everything under the sun, that is, that there is a time to weep and that there is a time to laugh, and that there is a time to mourn and that there is a time to dance. Thus, as some may be together in this past week at a wedding, and that is a time of great joy. We also may from time to time go to the airport, and there we may see such a mix. Sometimes it reminds you of that time that they built the second temple, where there was mourning and that there was singing at the same time. Because there you see those who are mourning, those who are weeping, because they are being separated one from the other. And that is a little bit of the rending of our heart when we have to leave our children or our loved ones. And then at the same time, you see those who are coming together after a long time absent, and you see that they are so full of happiness and of joy. Thus, in this world, the joys, they are so mixed with so many sorrows. We read in God's Word of the joys of parents. John writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Do you realize something of that, young people? The joy, the gladness, the satisfaction, the humility that is being worked in the heart of your parents when they may see you walk in the truth, when they may see you depart from the ways of sin, when they may see you come with gladness to the house of God. The father of the righteous, Solomon says, shall have joy of him. Are you then a cause of joy to your father, to your mother, or are we a cause of sorrow? Paul speaks to Philemon about joy concerning his good works when he saw what that he had done. We read of David. He was also so full of gladness when he saw what? Well, when he saw the people, how that they brought so freely the offerings, then he saw how that the love of their heart, and that was toward the service of the Lord, that they had a desire to give of all their belongings, that they may build a beautiful temple unto the name of the Lord. Thus, what a joy that has worked in the heart of that true servant of the Lord. And yet all those joys, They are joys that are in this time. They are joys that are all going to come to an end. But our instructors, they speak here about the beginning of eternal joy. Thus, there is a joy that is in its essence, that is in its being, that is in its foundation, different. And there is a beginning of this joy in the time, here. But there is to that joy that begins here, there is, we read, no end to that joy. Thus, it is the beginning of an eternal joy. When does that begin? That begins in that new birth. Not before. We may have many joys in this world. But this joy does not begin one moment before the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thus, young people, when we have never been the object of that grace of God, then we have never tasted one smallest particle of this true joy. Thus, it is a joy very different from the joys of this world. You say, last week we heard that it starts differently. Last week we heard, blessed are those that mourn. Then we heard that it begins with sorrow. Then you are right. And yet how different is that sorrow than the sorrow of this world? Than that sorrow that worketh death. There is no joy in that sorrow. But in this beginning of that eternal joy, in that working of that sorrow is also this joy. For what other reason would that people now want to exchange that sorrow for everything in this world? It is because of that joy that is accompanying this sorrow. In what do they joy? In what do they rejoice? Oh, they joy already in repentance. There is a joy already in turning out of that path of wickedness and turning, entering into that straight gate and beginning to walk upon that narrow way, that pathway that is leading back unto God. Oh, then there is a joy already to flee from all of the ways of sin, to leave all our former companions and all our wicked way of life in this world. Is that not hard for our flesh? Oh, yes. Because there remains something in the heart of that people that is an old man. And that old man that loves that sin. But then he feels also something of that drawing after God. Oh, Judas had no joy in his repentance. No, because it was no true repentance. It did not turn unto God to look unto him for mercy. Thus, it was nothing more than a bitter despair. Joy. There is a joy, congregation, in the ordinances of the Lord. We sang of those ordinances together. Oh, do you see David? Oh, when he may bring up that ark of God, then that king, he is willing to come
off of his throne. That king, he is willing to dress just like the handmaidens. He is willing to lower himself lower than everyone in this world. And he is willing to dance with the lowest of the people for the joy that lay in his heart unto that blessed service of the Lord. That is that king that said, one day in thy courts, that is better than 1,000 dwelling in this world in the tents of wickedness. Or when he was banished from that house of God. Or then he was looking back again in his life to that time that he has gone up with the multitude to that house of God with the voice of joy and with that voice of praise. Oh, what a rejoicing in the days of Hezekiah. Now, when that Passover that had not been celebrated since the days of Solomon, and those people, they may all come together again, and they may commemorate that Passover as it was commanded by the Lord. A joy in hearing the word, a joy in hearing that which is based upon that word. Do we know something of the desire for that house of God? The burning as it was in the heart of that man to Emmaus. That we may gather here. And that we may seek the presence of the Lord. Though that word of God testifies against us. Though that word of God opens to me all the sin. All the iniquity which is lying in my heart. Although that word of God that is making me to weep, still, oh, my heart being drawn, oh, with joy, the Lord says, they shall draw water out of those wells of salvation. Thy words were found that I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh, the company of the true people of the Lord, that I may only be among that people, that I may hear them tell something of that work of the Lord, that I may hope that the Lord is still working in our days as he has worked in days gone by. Oh, the joy. That I may meditate upon the Holy Scriptures. That I may find a little place all by myself. And that I can be separated from all the cares and the concerns that are of this world. And that I may think upon the Lord. Oh, the joy of the manifestation of the presence of the Lord. Because in his presence there is a fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, joy to sing. Oh, not to sing for show, no. But to sing in the congregation. To make melody even in private in my own heart to the Lord. That was the purpose that David has penned the Psalms. Appointed singers. And players on instruments. Great rejoicing. When those walls of Jerusalem were established in the days of Nehemiah. So that singing that was heard, we read, far away, blessed life. A life that would never be exchanged, not with all its trials. Now with all its sorrows, now with all its riddles and warfare and questions, Paul says, for that kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, he says, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Congregation, is that now our experience? Our instructors, they say that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. Thus, it is the It is the experience of this beginning of that eternal joy, which is giving that people a hope for that life that is everlasting.
Then we must also be very careful. Then we also always have to make distinctions. Why?
Because the devil, he is also appearing as an angel of light.
And the Lord Jesus has himself made such distinctions in his holy word.
Because he said that seed that was also received into stony places, and in those stony places, that word of God that was entering into the heart, and there it was being received, we read, with joy. With joy. Thus, he speaks about a joy that is not the beginning of that eternal joy. Thus, the Lord Jesus makes a distinction. And that is very difficult for us. Because when we examine our own heart, and when we look at our own emotions, and when we consider and say, yes, I also know something of a desire. I also know something of a joy. That is my delight also to come to the house of God, to be together with God's people on his holy day. And thus the Lord Jesus says that there is also a joy that belongs to a temporary faith. That is not the same as historical faith. Because historical faith that is received without emotion does not make us weep. It does not make us glad in our heart. Historical faith that is only in the mind. Yes, it is true. I believe that is true. But the temporary faith that is not even yet that true faith that also includes, affects the emotions of such a person. That is, as we read in God's word, the joy of the hypocrite. We read, the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Thus, that joy that is so necessary to distinguish that we are not deceiving ourselves for eternity. That's how close that it is necessary to examine our own hearts. Because that way that is false, that is running right next to that way that is true. The devil imitating. We read of that witch of Endor, that she has brought up for Saul, whom she calls Samuel. We know Samuel, he was a God-fearing man, the servant of the Lord. And so the devil imitates God's true servant. And then he is speaking to this witch. And when we consider all those joys that we have spoken of in this afternoon, then how nearly impossible that this is to distinguish those joys from those joys that are false, from the joys of the hypocrite. Not that there is no difference, there is a great difference. The difference is in the essence. The difference is in the being. One is true, one is false. One is spiritual, one is natural. But the effects and how those joys are experienced in the heart, they are so similar to each other. And therefore, it is so necessary, because so difficult to distinguish these joys, so necessary that no one is resting in these joys. Not only because they may be the joys of a hypocrite, but also more because these joys, they are not sufficient in themselves. They may be marks of the work of God, but they are not enough for us, for our own salvation. They cannot give us that true rest. They cannot give to us that lasting peace. They are coming, they are vanishing also away.
Is it possible to distinguish the joy of that temporal believer from the beginning, as we read here, of that eternal joy? Yes, that is possible. But in order to make this distinction, that we may not deceive ourselves, then it's necessary that we are going a little bit further. That we are walking a little further on that way of grace with that true people of the Lord. Because our fathers, they have said that up to this moment, that it can still go two ways with such a person, even as Christian and pliable, they are walking together and they are soon parting ways. But we cannot tell the difference yet between the true and that false work. So we have not come yet then to that point of true discrimination between God's work and the imitation of the devil.
Isaiah writes in Isaiah 9, verse 3, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." So what does Isaiah speak about? Isaiah speaks here about the future. He says, speaks about a joy that is, he says, going to be increased. And when is that increase of that joy? Well, he speaks about the time that the Messiah is coming. Thus, what is that joy that he is speaking of? That is the joy that is connected with deliverance. Deliverance. He speaks about the dividing of the spoil. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, when they receive the victory, when they receive, as it were, the deliverance from all of their enemies. That is a place where the hypocrite's joy does not come. The hypocrite can never joy in Christ. The hypocrite can never joy in the work of Christ.
Say that is more difficult now yet, because we live in a world that rejoices in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it is on the lips of so many. And then we say that the hypocrite, he can and never joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, though that is true, yet,
It is also true that it is impossible for anyone to really know that joy outside of the knowledge of his misery. That is simple, is it not, boys and girls? What has to happen when you would glorify a man for delivering you? Then you must first come in the pit. That is in the first place necessary. Do you know what that is? In this life? Do you know what it is to say, do you have a story to tell, young people? That you say, I was under that bridge that collapsed. Awful. And I was there stuck. And I could not get out. And there was a man, he risked his life to come through fire and water to get me out of that place. And you will tell that your whole life, you understand in a natural way, you never speak with respect of that man in such a way as after you have experienced that deliverance. So it is. Or we can say the name of Jesus. We can say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we have never come in that pit, then we have never known the anything of a true deliverance. We must be delivered, congregation, from something. Do we know from what that we have been delivered? Therefore, that gospel never becomes for us good news unless we are in that horrible pit and in that miry clay. Thus we say, in the first place, that joy of that hypocrite, can speak all he wants of that name, but that joy of that hypocrite never truly comes to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is now a distinguishing point for the examination of our own heart. And on the other side, there are those congregation who never, though they have truly become a sinner before God, though they have truly come in that pit, they have never yet experienced what it is to be delivered out of that pit. Thus, the Lord Jesus Christ has never yet been revealed unto them. And therefore they also have never reached yet that point where they may speak about that joy in deliverance. They are still struggling onward. They see no way. But what did the Lord say of the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world? He says, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. But both the hypocrite and those who are standing still in the bottom of that pit, they have never rejoiced in that birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have never come to that step. It has that Christmas day has never come in their life. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That is the point of distinction. It is the revelation of the Son of God. It is the experience of salvation in the soul. There the devil brings us not. It is the rejoicing of those who have been in distress. It is the rejoicing of a sinner who was in himself unable to deliver himself out of his sin. It is the rejoicing of a prisoner who is sitting in the darkness and for whom that key that is on the other side of that door. It is the rejoicing of that self-condemned sinner when he may hear something of the word of the Lord, that he is delivered from going down into that pit because he has found a ransom. It is the deliverance, the rejoicing of that pauper who has not one penny to pay for that debt and who may hear that is completely finished so that it is without money and without price. Oh, it is the rejoicing of Hannah who could not deliver herself from her oppressor and who may be given to hope in that word of the Lord. It is the rejoicing of the lepers who may feel in themselves that they have been cleansed. It is the rejoicing of a David who certainly has experienced that he was taken out of that pit, set on a rock, and a new song put into his mouth. Oh, that is the rejoicing. That is the beginning of that eternal joy. We must sing. Psalter 83, how blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who hath a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 83.
Our last thought for a few moments, the perfection of this joy. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. After this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Congregation, that sounds like a contradiction. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and yet our fathers, they say that at the beginning of this eternal joy that is experienced here already in this world, since I feel in my heart. Oh, how is that? That has to do with the perfection that our fathers speak about. And it is the perfection of that joy that cannot be realized and cannot be experienced here below in this world. It is not only the amount that it is here just in the beginning, but also that it is here, that it is always mixed up with the sorrows in this world. That is why the Lord Jesus, he says, verily, truly, truly, he says, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow that shall be changed into joy. And that is now the experience of the people, because weeping may endure for a night, but by times that they may experience that joy that is coming in the morning. And therefore David, all then he is groaning under his own iniquity and transgression, and he is beseeching the Lord that he may hear something of joy and gladness, that those bones that he says, Lord, thou hast broken, that those bones may rejoice. And so it is here. All that joy that is experienced here in this world by moments, and that is experienced in the exercising of faith, in the inshinings in which the Lord is shining in the heart of those people, that the Lord gives a little token that they may continue on a little further through the meshech of this world, through the wilderness of this world. Here below, we read of Habakkuk. He writes, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So it is here below. It is the upholding of the Lord, of his own people, that they may continue until when? Until they may leave all the sorrow behind them. It is not a perfection here below. When the Lord is pouring out a little token that people may rejoice a little bit. Oh, then that bride, she says, stay me with flagons. Come for me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head. With his right hand he doth embrace me. Why? Because she could not, with this temporal body, endure the fullness of that joy that bridegroom showed unto her in just a little measure. But now she says that when this mortal shall put on immortality, and when this
carnal, and that shall put on incorruption. Oh, then that new body that we have heard of also in the resurrection of the dead, that shall be able to endure the perfection and the full joy that shall be their experience to eternity. The ransomed of the Lord, they shall return. And there shall be everlasting joy read upon their head. That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, do we feel it? We may then this day examine our own heart. After this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation. That is, congregation, that little foretaste. That little foretaste. Young people, do you have a desire to taste a little of that joy? Do you know where you're not going to find it? You're not going to find it, we assure you, in all the entertainments of this world. What you think that is joyful, let your own heart testify this day. It is only full of disappointment, and it is only full of sorrow. But our fathers speak here according to the word of God of an eternal joy. So Christ said to his disciples, ye now therefore, he says, have sorrow, but I will come again. And then he says, your heart, that shall rejoice, and your joy no man is going to take away from you. Oh, seek them. Not the joys that are passing away, but that joy that will never pass away. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but stumble a few words. It eye hath not seen it, ear hath not heard it. Thy children may experience such a small beginning. A little taste of that joy. Oh, give us a desire, each and every one of us, to know it also, that we may leave all the world behind to seek after that blessed portion. Remember us then in the week to come. Keep us from all sin. Keep us from accident, from danger. Be with all that are afflicted in hospitals and institutions of mercy. Help us with our labors, each one in our place. Give meditation on thy word. Oh, that these eternal things may be bound upon our hearts, and that we might learn to live as a stranger, as a pilgrim here below, seeking that one thing that is needful. Lord, do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 426, stanzas 2, 3, 9, and 10. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 3, 9, and 10 of Psalter 426.
Son and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.